current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy and the world's news for Friday, October 18th, 2019. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hilt. Thanks for tuning in. If you're listening live, we're listening to podcast number 98 anytime. We love being able to make that available to you on our website at thesigns.org or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or iHeartRadio. Pastor Mark, welcome in.
Hey, great to be here, as always.
Yes. Were you a comic book guy as a kid?
You know, I wasn't so much a comic book guy. I mean, I like the cartoons and all that stuff. I never got into comic books, really. I don't know why.
I wasn't really either, but we're all familiar with Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And especially with the recent rash of movies, but the comic book. Well, in 1983, apparently Marvel Comics actually published a number of comics about a spider pig, though his name was Peter Porker.
Stop it.
Your friend.
Stop it. Don't even go any farther.
No,
this is a joke.
Your friendly neighborhood spider ham.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on.
Now, I don't know if that's
who
true.
Who did this?
I don't know if that's true.
Is this
true.
Connected to Charlotte's Web and the whole pig? And
I don't know. I don't
spider.
Know if it's true.
That's a joke.
But when I read it, I thought,
is it
this
real?
Is.
He's just real.
It's real. I thought that would be something that you would write.
It's so corny. I could have written that.
That's what I thought.
I mean, there's a whole theme there. I mean, with my girls.
So basically, you're just jealous that you didn't come up with this.
You know, I'm surprised. You're right, probably. But with my girls when they were little, I used to do spider hand. I would talk like a puppet, and I'd go, spider hand. And, you know, they'd with them and play, and they'd laugh and all.
That's fun.
I used to make all kinds of games out of stuff like that, but I never thought of spider ham.
Okay.
But then again, I never went that far with it. But
I think it would be fun if you just did that from the pulpit. Just right in the middle of the teaching, just all of a sudden, spider hand.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, but nobody'd get that.
I know. That's true.
My girls would laugh. That'd be it.
But anyway. Anyway, folks, thanks for staying with us. Don't forget our website, thesigns.org, for everything related to our program. All right, well, let's get into our main topic. And you brought this up right before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've talked about this before. Sometimes we really don't know what we're going to talk about as the main theme until we get there.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit always providing the direction on that.
Yeah,
just occurred to Pastor Mark that this is our last Friday show before Halloween.
Right.
And, of course, we always,
yeah.
The only time. I only get to play that music once a year.
Well, no, you play that. Do that on Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
You do. Friday the 13th.
True.
You do that.
All right. Well, there's our pre-Halloween scary music.
Yeah. But I think, you know, every year when this comes up and the holidays, we typically talk about them and we talk about Halloween. I think it's good to discuss it. And I'm glad we're going to do that today. There's a lot of things in my heart to talk about relation to that.
Yeah, because when we think of Halloween, we think about the commercialization of Halloween, right? It's hard to escape that.
Right.
The quintessential trick-or-treating and dressing up, and a lot of people like to dress up their little kids in cute little costumes, and everything seems innocent enough, and I don't know if you're going to get into the pros and cons of any of that, but there truly is a scary aspect to Halloween that's legitimately scary, not Hollywood scary, but we're talking about scary to your soul, eternal scary.
Yeah, there's two aspects to it. There's a lot of people see it as just that fun holiday. It's very innocent to them. They dress up, they get candy, they play. The problem is there's a premise behind it where there's also an evil side to it where truly a lot of demonic things happen that night. Satan does use it to deceive people. And I think even planting seeds for the up and coming generation about spiritism and, you know, these kind of things are planted during that time. So, I think for me, and, you know, we've looked at it every year. We typically talk about where it came from, what its history is, how we're not going to do that this year because I have something different on my heart about it this year. And that is really, you know, what do we do as the church and as Christians? And I think this is something where a lot of believers have struggled over the years. I know I have. And you have this struggle going on, like, okay, wait a minute, what do I do? I mean, here's the struggle I had. If I don't want to take part in it, because you take part in it, then it's like, all right, I'm taking part in something that is the enemy's playground and something that's his holiday. I can't do that.
Well, and the Bible says that if it's sin to you, then don't sin against your conscience.
Exactly.
And participate in it.
Right, right. And again, there are some things when they're so blatantly demonic that we're warned against.
Yeah.
It. And there's an aspect to it that's pretty blatant and in your face. So the one is, you know, okay, be a part. The other is, all right, what do we do then? You know, does the church do an alternative? And if you do an alternative, it can be used to some degree, but oftentimes it just comes out as a compromise.
Talking about really, like those trunk or treat things that
I
see.
I want to be careful not to be critical because I don't know what's going on inside the church doors that night, and
gotcha.
I want to be careful not to judge them. But if we don't make it a real fight, kind of in your face Satan, then what it really becomes is kind of an alternative that really could be just kind of a compromise. And I think the church can find itself in a compromising situation. But the other aspect of it is that also, I don't think we're supposed to run and hide. And I know for years I'd go, you know, oh man, what do we do? I don't want to hand out candy. I don't want to, you know, let's go bowling. Let's do whatever. Just, you know, hide. And all the Christians are kind of in hiding until it passes. And then like, what do we do after, you know, from that point on? And I'll tell you where it's turned around for me is I want to read a letter I wrote. I just wrote a letter to our body about this. I called it From the Pastor's Desk, and it's going to be on our social media, probably on Facebook, so it'll go beyond our body as far as that goes. But I address this situation because if you don't do anything, you're kind of just sitting back doing nothing while the enemy's on the prowl. If you do the wrong thing, then people say, well, you're compromising and you're giving in or whatever. And so it's finding that balance of what do we do? I don't think we compromise. I don't think we offer alternatives. I think we put on the boxing gloves and fight. And so I wrote something here. I think it'd be almost better to read it. And it kind of sums it up. It's not long, but I want to read it. And then we'll talk about some of this in more detail. And what we're doing here actually at Calvary Chapel here this coming Halloween. It says, Dear Calvary family, as you know, each year on October 31st, Halloween rolls around. And it seems like we, the church, simply stand by helplessly, just watching as the enemy deceives the next generation and takes ground in relation to the occult, Satanism, and witchcraft. And traditionally, this has been dealt with in a number of ways by the church. One is to offer an alternative event of fun and games and simply do the same thing the world's doing, but do it in a Christian way. The problem is this typically has no real impact and is often viewed as nothing more than a compromise by the church. Another is going into hiding with your family by going out to eat, going bowling, or going to a movie until everyone is done trick-or-treating. Another approach has been to simply turn out the lights and not open the door when anyone knocks. Lastly, some choose to hand out tracts with candy, which is the best option of them all. And while this last option can be effective in a limited way, the enemy's reaching the masses on this day in an extremely organized fashion. So what should the church do? First of all, I don't think the church should just sit back and do nothing when the enemy's on the offense, much less go into hiding. We should always be the one taking the fight to him. After all, why should Satan own the rights to October 31st, or any day for that matter, when the world and its fullness belong to God? Who does he think he is? And who says October 31st belongs to him anyway? Every day belongs to the Lord. And we as the church should approach it in that way. Which means rather than simply going into hiding and waiting for this day to end, I'm convinced that we need to put on our boxing gloves and put up a fight. Rather than just sit back and watch what he's doing, it is a chance to take back the night and get in Satan's face. But Mark, isn't this compromise of participating in an event of the enemy? Not if we don't participate in his event, but create our own to counteract it. When Haman set aside a day intended for evil in Esther's day, it was designed to overcome and conquer the Jews. And Mordecai and Esther fought back. And in so doing, they defeated the enemy and turned a day intended for evil into a day of good and celebration. And it is still a day of celebration today among the Jews, known as the Feast of Purim. That is why we here at Calvary are being very focused and purposeful in how we're approaching Halloween this year as a church. And this is what we're doing as a gospel-focused Hallelujah night, with the end goal of being to see children and adults, if possible, give their life to Christ. That is, we're taking a day intended for evil and making it a day for good. And what better way to do this than to get in Satan's face rather than in Satan's face than to present the love of Jesus on this day and lead people to Christ? So what will the night be like? I don't think we should simply offer an alternative, as I said, to Halloween. As to me, this is just another way of going along with the world in a seemingly sanctified way. Nor is this going to be a night for the body of Christ somewhere to hide until the night passes. This night is going to be purposeful and focused, an evangelistic outreach to our children and our community. That is why we've put a sign out front inviting our community and have taken advantage of an open door with the administration at Mount Olive Elementary School to invite their entire student body. Our goal is to share Jesus in a clear and concise way by having different stations that will show different aspects of the gospel, culminating with an invitation and prayer to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior at the end. Now, why did I write this letter and what was the purpose? Not just to describe what we're doing on October 31st and why, but to help answer questions for those who might be struggling with whether this is something the church should be involved in or not. Here's my heart. I, too, have gone back and forth over the years on this particular subject and have come to the conclusion that it is an opportunity for the church, if done right and with the proper focus, to counteract the evil intentions of the enemy. If we make this attempt to affect this night in our community and it has no impact or blessing from the Lord, we will no longer do it. But if we see the fruit of the kingdom and God's blessing, we just may be onto something. I would ask that no matter your opinion on the subject, you would please pray that God would use this night for his glory. If we see his blessing or any fruit for our efforts, we'll discontinue this outreach. But if we see God pour out his spirit and do a work among our community, this may become an annual event. God bless each and every one of you and hope to see you at the outreach. So that kind of is my heart on this. And like I said, I know that a lot of people struggle with it, you know, and they, you know, what are we supposed to do or not do? I've taken up the aspect that rather than running and hiding, I just soon punch him in the mouth. And I don't think there's a better way to punch him in the mouth and give kids the gospel on that night and try to pray with them to lead them to Christ. We've done many different things. We've had prayer nights. This will be, I think, the fourth time we've done something like this over the years. And it gets different reactions from the body, but I think it's good for our body to know where I'm coming from. But I think it's also educational. Really for those that are struggling with this to kind of give a different viewpoint on it and where we're coming from. I know some people don't struggle at all, but there are some people that do. And so I felt it was important to put that out there. And I wanted to share that with our listeners.
Right.
Because it really, I think, not only explains my heart, but kind of a view of how we as believers can really look at this as an effective outreach rather than just let's run and hide and let the enemy have fun that day.
Well, I think it's an important thing to talk about because it's not just Halloween either, I don't think, Pastor Mark. I mean, over the years, I think there are some in the church that have struggled with Christmas.
Absolutely.
With Easter,
yeah.
or what we call Resurrection Sunday.
Absolutely.
Because we can thank the Word of God for that in a sense, and some of the struggle is because when we read the Bible, we really understand that Jesus really wasn't born on December 25th.
That's right.
When all these things happen and the purpose behind them isn't what we've been taught through our culture and through tradition throughout the generations.
Yeah.
And so that causes some honest consternation in terms of, wow, as Christians, how do we handle it? And it's important that what you're doing right now is you're addressing the issue, you're addressing the heart of the issue and saying, hey, listen, we're going to try this.
Yeah.
We don't know that this is the answer, but here's what isn't the answer: to sit by and do nothing.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever to run and hide from the enemy.
Right.
And he brought it to our face.
Yeah.
I think we need to put it back in his. And again, at Christmas and Easter, look, these have pagan roots. Now, not the way we think of it as the resurrection and birth of the Lord, but these go back. We could go a whole discussion on the pagan roots of that as well. And I think oftentimes they were used wrongfully by the church, especially, portions of the church that history really used them very compromisingly and in a wrong way.
Yeah.
But these are also days, I believe, based on what I saw God do with Mordecai and Esther. You can take a day that's intended for evil, and I believe you can take it for God and turn it around for God's people to be a blessing. And I think that's what, if you do it with that focus and that purpose, every day belongs to the Lord. It's all his. We give it all back to him. But again, that's kind of the summation of that. And of course, we have all the things. I want to discuss some other issues in relation to that. About where we are as a nation and what's going to be happening around this time of year and why it's growing.
Okay, great. Let's do it.
Oh, I thought you were going to announce them, but okay.
I didn't know if you want to stay focused on the Halloween aspect.
Yes.
Stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this article really kind of shows us where we're heading as a nation in terms of how we're really digging in deep into the occult aspect of Halloween. And this is from, I've never heard of this news source before. I don't know what it is, a news source. I got to check with our news gatherer on this, but brownjournal.net.
Right.
And the title of this article is "The World's Largest Ouija Board is Built in Salem, Massachusetts to, quote unquote, summon the world's largest ghost."
Now, I'm sure a lot of this is probably just tongue-in-cheek and being silly, but some people really believe this stuff. That's why we're going to give it some credence here and talk about it for a moment. On October 12, 2019, at 1 in the afternoon, of course, we're already beyond that, officially called Ouija-Zilla. It was unveiled in Salem, Massachusetts. The gigantic Ouija board is the largest in the world and was built with the hope of summoning the world's largest ghost. I mean, again, part of this is just a big joke.
I picture the Stay Puff thing from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, wasn't it? Yeah,
was it
Stay Puff?
Like,
what was he? The Marshmallow
the
Man
Puff
or something?
Man.
Was he
Stay I thought
Puff?
It was the Stay Puff Man.
Maybe
yeah.
it was. What
anyway.
Is that? I don't know what the Stay Puff Man is, but I remember that guy. Yeah. Anyway, the board was created by the Talking Board Historical Society. Did you know that existed?
Had no idea.
Listen, talking boards apparently are something that spiritism that goes back pretty far, and the Ouija board is just one type of talking board.
Yeah,
and they have a Talking Board Historical Society. They broke the Guinness Book of World Records, a record for the largest Ouija board ever created. And, of course, there's quite a competition in that realm. I know a lot of my friends, that was their life goal, to build that largest. Anyway. According to the website, and I quote, "Talking boards are historically significant, having existed in one form or another since shortly after 1848, the birth of modern spiritism. Most Americans are aware of the most famous talking board, Ouija, first introduced in 1890 by Kennard Novelty Company and sold today by Hasbro, again sold as a game and innocent." Let me just say this. It's
legit.
There's nothing innocent about this. This is truly a connection to the demonic realm and can influence in the demonic realm. And I don't need to give the details about how this works, but the bottom line is that, it is something where we do see a lot of the spiritism and this drive towards spiritism today. Because people are trying to fill the void because they don't have God. And let me say this, there's some realness to it. I a lot of people will, for example, and this is where I want our listeners to be aware. A lot of people like these, you see this rise in like these ghost shows, the ghost hunters, I've never watched it, but I see it. You flip around the football game, you go to something during a commercial and there's ghost hunters or whatever. And these guys go to these houses and they put their little meters up like the Ghostbusters movie. I mean, they're like Geiger counters, like that. I don't know, like maybe ghosts are supposed to have radiation or something. I don't know.
They're looking for that kind of like electrical energy,
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. And I would say this: a large portion of it is man generated. It's you hear a noise, we create things and we over. So a lot of it's fake and all this. But there is a real aspect to this. Now, I'm not saying ghosts are real. It's not Uncle Harry coming back to tell you to get off his lawn. This is demonic spirits. And the Bible says that a third of the angels fell, and we call them demons. And they speak through people. They manifest themselves to people. Those that are connected to spiritism and the occult, they have a connection there. And so when you get into these people that are chasing these ghosts or getting into these seances or doing the Ouija boards or whatever the case might be, and something real happens, it freaks them out because in their mind, they're thinking, oh, it's real. Like you see people call up these psychics, and they give them something that, maybe half of it's nothing and maybe half of it really lines up with something, and they freak out because how could you know that? How could you, where did that come from? And so they begin to think that there really are these ghosts from the past that are alive and telling them things or whatever, whether it be to the person that's hosting it or whatever the case might be. It's real, but it's demonic. And so God tells us, stay away from it. Look, this is not a game. We're not playing with little Casper. This isn't Casper. This is a demon that rebelled against God Almighty, got thrown out of heaven, and now he's deceiving somebody who's doing a ghost show or who's doing a Ouija board or who's doing a seance. And oftentimes they really do speak through people. They really do tell you things. And the thing I've heard is no one could know that, but that person. No, there's a lot of people there's a lot of beings
that know that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The demonic realm could know it.
Yep.
The angels know it. God knows it. And so the demonic realm, all they have to do, they see what happens in your life. They tell the lady that you go to see that, I think you were at work, last week, and some guy that you think maybe you're going to marry, he came up and gave you a flower. It's real, and this is amazing. No, you just got tricked by a demon. And you need to be aware you're being tricked. You need to be aware you're being deceived. Yes, it's real, but it's real demonic. And so don't be deceived by these mediums. Don't be deceived by these ghost hunters. Don't be deceived by all this stuff. And the bottom line is God says as believers, stay away from it because it is from the demonic realm and it connects us to the demonic realm. So we as believers should have nothing to do with that. And again, I bring this up because now this time of year, a lot of people even focus in more on this kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Now, again, I want to bring up something else in relation to this because you'll also find around this spiritism, all the UFO talk. And I had this happen a couple of days ago. A guy called me up on the phone and, hey, maybe UFOs are real and there's, you know, beings on other planets and all this. And this is a believer, but again, people that are young, sometimes they don't know and they're growing in the Lord and you try to explain to them. Let me just make a statement here. Do I believe there could be some, on occasion, a lot of it again is hallucination or fake or whatever. People get excited and I saw this, whatever. Could some of it sometimes be something real? I think very possibly. And one of them, I'll give you an example, was this one released recently where the military released that, and maybe you guys saw that. The military released this saucer-looking thing flying with no sound, no jet propulsion. It was quiet. It was going it was the same speed, keeping up with the jets at this super speed they're going, and then it just took off and left them behind. And they're freaking out. And the government released that, and they said, okay, this is legitimate. We want you to see what's going on up here sometimes that we see in the sky. It's not a fake. This is going on. And people's like, that proves it. Let me tell you what that proves. Listen. Let me deal with this issue first of all. Do I believe there are beings on other planets with souls? The answer to that, I believe biblically, absolutely is no. And here's why. And people go, what do you mean with all of these stars and all these? Certainly there's. Well, first of all, it didn't happen by chance. God put us here purposefully and created it. But number two, the Bible says this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. Okay. The Bible says that God desires that none perish, but all enter the kingdom of God. So we know that all sinned, that's all of his creation. And he wants all to be in heaven, all of creation, which means it would be this planet and any other that had beings, right? But it says that Jesus Christ only died for the sins of this world. Singular, not plural. He died for this earth, the sins of this world, which tells us two things. This is the only place that needed blood to cover sin, which means there is no one else anywhere else because there's no need for blood. There's no one else. And if you say, but yeah, well, maybe they are and they didn't sin. No, the Bible says all have sinned in creation. All. It's the word pos. It encompasses everything in God's creation. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which means if there are other beings on other planets, they're sinners, somebody would have to die for them. Jesus didn't die for them, the Bible says. He died for this singular world on the cross for all who've lived here. That pretty much nails it down. There aren't any other beings anywhere else on the planet. And that's just a biblical theological fact. You can jump up and down and stomp and say, I still believe it. That's fine. Be deceived. I don't mean to be mean, but it's, and maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. I don't mean to close off ears by being too abrupt on that. But the Bible is clear. Jesus died for this world, but he died for all sins. And he says that everyone sinned, which excludes any other beings in the universe.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Now with that theological foundation in place, what was that thing? And what are these things sometimes people see that many of them hallucinations, many of them fake, we know that. But what are the ones that you go, that's that thing the military saw, that was a real thing flying.
Well,
wasn't fake.
Let me ask you this question because I have not seen that video.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Okay.
You need to go see it.
Okay. But my question to you is, was this object, was it clear enough or close enough where there was anything identifiable to its characteristics other than the overall shape?
Nothing but its glow and its shape of that saucer look.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And the reason why I asked that question, I knew the answer before you gave it to me.
Right.
Because I'm leading you to where we're eventually going
right,
with this.
Right.
Is that any, and that's not the only video that's out there of things similar to that.
This is the one that I've seen that I most believe.
Right.
You know, some guy threw a frisbee at me.
Well, yeah,
took a snapshot.
And you want to know what? And some of that's probably true, but then there's probably stuff that is legitimate, but was shot so long ago in terms of the technology and the ability for clarity.
Poor quality.
But this video that was shot, I'm sure, was shot with fantastic
equipment. It was. And the military's talking. They're talking to each other about it, laughing, going, oh my goodness, what is this thing?
What is this thing?
Yeah.
But there's a reason why you can't identify it, and it's controlled in that way, because it's legitimately other world, but exactly where from, the Bible kind of tells us, maybe, right?
I do believe, indeed, it was, again, a fallen angel. And I'll explain why.
Yeah.
First of all, man doesn't have the technology to do what this thing did. And I, because of my theological conviction that there can't be any other life out in the universe, because Jesus didn't die for them, yet everyone's guilty of sin, which means they would be left out. So with that foundation, I have to go, all right, this is supernatural. We're the most advanced nation in the world technologically. And if we don't know what it is and we can't keep up with it, I guarantee you it's not some secret thing China or Russia's doing. They may even be advanced in some areas beyond us, but nobody can do what I saw that thing do. It defies natural properties. So what is it? This is where we go. So people go, see, that proves it's real. I'll say, yes, I think something
is real,
but it's not little green men from other planets. I believe it is also the demonic realm deceiving mankind and may even be used in the last days by the Antichrist to help with this world deception. Now, what's interesting about that is when you see this, when you look at the cherubim, I am is plural, and I've got to hurry on our time, but the cherubim in scripture, those are angels. They surround the throne. I don't know about all angels, but cherubs, or cherubim, plural, they have connected to their side a large disc. How do we know that? Ezekiel chapter 1, Revelation, they call it on their side, they call it a wheel.
Within a wheel.
Within a wheel, which would look like, instead it has eyes all in it. So it would almost look like windows, whatever it is. It's this saucer-shaped thing that looks like it has windows, and it's strapped to their side. It says everywhere they go, it goes with them. Whatever they do, it does.
It's like a gyroscope. Satan, it essentially behaves like
Satan was a cherub. So if Satan was to manifest visibly and fly, what would you see from a distance? If you're too far away, you wouldn't see the shape of the body, so to speak. But what would you see? You see that disc. I personally believe that some of these saucers that are seen are legitimate, but they're cherubs, fallen angels that are flying. For whatever reason, God allowed them to manifest. There they are. Now, again, I'm not going to fight with you theologically. This is more of just kind of discussional.
Exactly. Yeah, sure.
I'm not going to fight with anybody on that. First of all, I will say I do believe it's demonic.
Yeah.
But I believe we can even go that next step and explain what the disc is if you go back and read Ezekiel and Revelation and other places. And so, again, but Satan uses all this because there is a realness to it. And people believe it. And because they don't know the word of God, they're sucked in and deceived by it. And as we get into in the second half, we're going to see, because of where we're going as a nation, falling away from God, becoming more and more deceived and less godly, you're going to see a greater and greater amount of spiritism on the rise in our nation, a greater level of darkness. And I personally believe you're going to see, at the same time our nation pulls away from the Lord, you're going to see more UFOs and more spiritism and more psychics and more of this. You're going to see that rise at the same time God goes down. Why? It's a spiritual deception by Satan and the demonic realm. And again, I believe it's going to be used in some form and fashion, in the last days.
What do you think the end goal is by getting people to believe in UFOs or alien life outside of this earth?
You know, I don't know yet exactly, Greg. I know there's probably a lot of theories, but I do know this. I know that the
what are your thoughts, or have you thought about
that? I think it's just a level of supernatural deception, trying to get people away from that God did all this to maybe all these beings. One of the things New Agers say now is that aliens brought man and put him here.
Right.
So that takes God out of the equation. Where's God?
That's a good point. Yeah,
the aliens dropped him off.
Yeah.
And I know in Santa Fe, when we lived there, which is like, they call it the city different because it is. I mean, it should be like the city weird. I mean, I used to thumb a flying saucer to work every day. And then I worked with multiple aliens and spiritists. And anyway, it's just a weird town.
Yes. Yeah.
And they have their own, they have a UFO museum there and an angel museum. It's a weird place. But again, whenever you see spiritism, these things are always there. I believe that it's a way to deny God. It's a way to get people to look at explaining away the Bible and explaining away all that God has done by it being other beings and other planets, and it's just pulling people farther from God. And then when this supernatural being shows up, this Antichrist, he's going to have supernatural power.
Yeah.
It's going to be an easy road to walk, just deceiving people. We're being primed. We're set up for it.
Yeah. The subtlety of the enemy.
Yeah.
Clearly at work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. All right, Pastor Mark, thank you. Folks, don't go anywhere. Right after Israel in the News, we will get to articles of interest that Pastor Mark talked about as Signs of the Times continues right here on WIAM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WIAM LP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. Israel shot down a drone along the border with the Gaza Strip, according to the Times of Israel. An Israel Defense Force spokesman said the drone was down near a border fence, but no word on whether it entered Israeli space. Meanwhile, the Jerusalem Post reports that 10 people were arrested on Thursday in the Palestinian town of Beit Awa for suspected terrorist activities. The IDF found illegal weapons, including submachine guns, during a search on the homes of the suspects, who were then taken into custody. Members of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee heard testimony Wednesday from a State Department expert on Iran, asking him what that country might do to exploit Turkey's push into northern Syria. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more.
Democratic Senator Bob Menendez asked State Department Special Representative for Iran, Brian Hook, what's being done to prevent Iran from moving fighters and supplies through northern Syria as Turkey continues its onslaught against Kurdish fighters.
All we have done here is perpetuate their interests and created a greater risk for our ally, the State of Israel.
Hook said the Trump administration's maximum pressure campaign is working to contain Iran's activities in Syria. Iran has condemned Turkey's incursion into the country.
Vice President Mike Pence is in Turkey to meet with President Erdogan and press him to halt the offensives against Kurds in northern Syria. Fox's Trey Yingst reports from Turkey.
The American delegation, led by Vice President Mike Pence and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, has arrived here in Ankara for meetings with Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan. The original goal of this visit was to try to broker a ceasefire agreement between Kurdish forces and the Turkish military as Turkey continues their invasion into northern Syria. These developments do come just hours after Fox News obtained a letter written by President Trump to Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan on the day the offensive began. In the letter, Trump writes that Erdogan doesn't want to be responsible for slaughtering thousands of people. Erdogan said he threw that letter in the trash.
The Israeli Olympic team added another member to the group of athletes that will compete in Tokyo in 2020 when gymnast Artem Dolgopiat won a silver medal in the men's floor exercise. According to the Jerusalem Post, this is Dolgopiat's second silver medal to go with the one he won in 2017. Alexander Shantilov, who has represented Israel at the last three Summer Olympics, also qualified for the 2020 Israeli Olympic team. This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Learn how you can help needy Jews start a new life in the Holy Land by visiting israelinthenews.org. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, October 18th, 2019. That was just Pastor Mark taking a refreshing drink of water.
You tell my rookie mistake. Sorry. I've been doing this like for years. You tell me I'm just wanting the guys, hey, I just made a noise. I should not have done that with the cat. But announce it. It's all right.
It doesn't matter. We only have five listeners, so it's okay. All right.
Your dad, my mom, yes, my dad, and there mom, you go. And we have some. I'm just kidding.
All right, let's get to some articles. A couple here for Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yeah.
And really everything that we see in the Middle East, even the stuff that you heard on Israel in the news and stuff you've been watching regarding Turkey and Syria and ceasefire and the things, you know, President Trump pulling troops out and all it and the Kurdish and all that. That is all tied in to Ezekiel. It's all part of it. And this one here from Reuters, dated October 14th. Saudi visit signals Putin's growing Middle East influence. And Pastor Mark, why is that so important?
Well, again, remember, with Ezekiel 38 and 39, we're watching Russia get a stronger hold in that whole region. And whenever something like this happens, you'll notice, especially when we back away, I mean, Russia is so quick to move in. They did it with Egypt. They're doing it now here with Syria, and they get their tentacles in there. And this is just laying the groundwork to further unite that region for this coming Russian and Iranian invasion. It says President Vladimir Putin signaled Moscow's growing Middle East clout on Monday on his first visit to Saudi Arabia in over a decade, buoyed by Russian military gains in Syria. strong ties with Riyadh's regional rivals and energy cooperation. On the eve of Putin's trip, U.S. troops abruptly retreated. So he timed it when we came out. I don't know which came first or how that worked, but we retreated from the northern of Syria as Russian-backed government forces deployed deep inside the Kurdish-held territory under a deal to help fend off a Turkish cross-border offensive. The Russian president met King Salman and the de facto ruler, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, with whom Putin says he has friendly relations. Ahead of the visit, Putin, who offered to provide Russian defense systems to the kingdom after the September 14th attacks on its oil facilities, I'll talk in a minute, said he could also play a positive role in easing tensions with Tehran, given good ties with both sides. So here'd be my comment on this, and I want to finish a comment, then make a correction from last week.
Okay.
Something I found out I was not exactly correct on.
Okay.
But the bottom line is Putin is moving himself further into position to control that region. And remember, something's going to happen, whether he knows he's going into Israel or not at this point, or whether whoever's leading at that time knows, I don't know. But we do know this, they're going to feel pulled into it. So he's getting so tied in with Syria, Iran, Lebanon, all that region, that, and now the Kurds, because we backed away, they're now linking with Syria and Russia for protection against Turkey. I don't know if you knew that latest or not, but their military commanders have linked up with Russia and Syria.
Well, you just said that Russia went in there into the Kurdish region to help defend them against the Turkish, you know, insurgents.
Right. It's a little deeper. They're helping defend them, but they're making agreements. We're going to now work with you guys. Almost like, I wouldn't call them treaties at this point, but they're making agreements. So my point is, when you make all of these agreements, and here's how agreements work. When one gets pulled in, you agree to go with them. So this whole jaw pulled in, this hook in the jaw that's going to pull them in out of Ezekiel 38, it may very well be when these guys go, Russia's kind of committed themselves treaty-wise, they're going to have to go.
Now, didn't we tie up some articles in the last few weeks about Turkey and Russia and them getting along in terms of military agreements or supplying the S-300 missiles? The political soap opera of this is amazing to me, because on one hand, they're buddies. And then on the other hand, Russia's going into the Syrian territory to help defend the Kurdish people against the country that they've got to deal with to provide missiles.
Well, again, it all comes down to power and money.
I know, but it's just fascinating. And
yeah, because it can change overnight. Remember, a few years back when Turkey shot down the Russian jet, Putin's all mad. They hate each other.
Yeah.
This is a big good
talk. Yeah.
And then you see what, a month later, Putin's there in Turkey meeting with Erdogan, and now we're buddies and they're smiling and shaking hands because they worked it out. Because again, remember, Putin wants power here. He doesn't want Turkey fighting him. So one plane. Okay. Well,
it's amazing,
but it's politics. Again, you see politicians 1 week. I mean, 1 week, President Trump is calling one of his rivals, remember, in the debates, giving them names, and then they drop out. They're the greatest guy in the world. This is how politics work. People use it, whatever they have to use to their advantage at that moment. So, but this is really, the bottom line is Russia getting their tentacles further into other countries in that region, which the Bible says will happen, because it's going to be Russia, Iran, Turkey, Libya, and Sudan are going to be the main five leading this in. Now, here's the correction I want to make.
Yes.
First of all, what I said last week about Magog was correct. That region there where the Kurds are is the ancient Medes area. Remember the Medes and the Persians?
Yes.
You had the Medes right in that area, and then over here is Persia, Iran. They're still in those locations today. So you had the Medo-Persian Empire, and the Mede area is what we know of as historically Magog.
Okay.
So that is the Magog area. Where I wasn't exactly accurate was I made a comment about the Kurds being in the area where Russia and Iran would come in. So them being kind of cleared out would open that way.
Yes.
Actually, as I checked my map and my information after that, the Kurds are a little bit further north than that. They're funny. They're broken up in different areas. There are some areas that are down there toward that direction, but they're more up toward the north, far away from that entryway. So it's not exactly going to clear out the way for Russia to come in. That way is already kind of cleared out. But what it does do is it engages Magog, now connecting Magog with Gog. Because look what happened here. Russia, Gog, Magog is now linking up with Russia because of what happened with Turkey and President Trump. So now you've got Gog and Magog now kind of holding hands. I mean, it's formulating.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what this means timing-wise, but it's formulating.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
The next article, I think you pretty much covered this in the first article. Maybe there's something different in this that's not in the first, but basically this is from timesofisrael.com, filling the void. Russia seeks to cement its role as power broker in Syria. It's essentially what you've just talked about. I don't know if there's anything in here that
would add
to that first article.
No, I would say pretty much the main thing is that Russia, the first line, Russia moved to fill the void left by the United States in northern Syria on Tuesday. And that's the bottom line of this. Yeah. They're in there. I mean, these guys, boy, you walk out. I mean, they're there walking in. And it's a power play. Putin does this. China does it. Anytime you can get, you know, a power play where you can get involved in more territory, more money, more power, you're going to do it. And Russia is one of the biggest, you know, contributors to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Prophetically so.
Yeah.
All right. One world government news. I guess this is prophetic. It sounds like this is kind of like an app or something. This is from The Washington Post. A Chinese app on Xi's ideology allows data access to 100 million users' phones. What's all this about?
I'll tell you why this is huge, Greg.
Okay.
Let me read some of this.
Yeah,
out of Beijing, the Chinese Communist Party, now led by LeBron James, appears to have a super... I'm sorry, I added that. I should just back that up. Sorry. The Chinese Communist Party appears to have super user access to all the data on more than 100 million cell phones. Owing to a backdoor in a propaganda app that the government has been promoting aggressively this year. An examination of the code in the app shows it enables authorities to retrieve every message and photo from a user's phone. We're down here in America. Okay.
But you have to have this app on your phone,
you
right?
You do, but hang on.
Okay.
They can browse your contacts, internet history, activate your audio recorder to listen to you from your own device. This is if you download this app, and I'll tell you what the app is.
Okay, yeah, please tell me.
The Chinese Communist Party essentially has access to over 100 million users' data, said Sarah Un, director of technology at the Open Technology Fund, an initiative funded by the U.S. government under the Radio Free Asia. And I quote, "That's coming from the top of the government, that it's expanding its surveillance into citizens' day-to-day lives." If you download, now, I guess I don't have the name of the app. I'm sorry. I think it's called something like Learning About a Great Nation or a Great Country. But if you get an app out of China that's about China and it tells you to learn about a great nation, do not download this app. Now, here's what's interesting, Greg. Because we make the iPhones in China.
I know where you might be going with this.
Well, again, it's very hard to keep... you have to be really on your guard to keep spy technology out of it. And really what Apple has done is they've even allowed certain things to be put in that they know about and even given over certain technology that they know about in order to be able to make them in China because of the price break and the money. Comes back to money
it
again.
It all comes
and power.
Back to the money.
And here's the thing. We talk about the mark of the beast. We talk about all these things. The mark of the beast on every person or the information, it's only as good as the information you have. So if you've got one of these people that is a blackout person, they don't have a computer, a phone. I mean, nobody knows they exist. You can put a mark on them, and now you can GPS that mark, but that's about the only thing you can do is find where they are. You don't know anything about them. What's happening here is this is giving access to the nations of the world about our lives and everything about us. It's this trackable, controllable, knowable technology that is going to be used by the Antichrist in the Mark of the Beast to control the society. And Russia, I mean, China is being used in a huge way in this. What China does is they steal our technology and then they modify it, make it better and use it in different ways. They use their own technology, but they take ours. I mean, the whole thing here is this really interesting setup. So I believe all this is going to be eventually again kept. It's going to be kept in databases around the world, and this will be part of the information that can be put into chips about a person's life. You'll probably either receive your chip with it in it, or when you get a chip, download. It'll be your information downloaded. The government will have it. It'll be ultimate control. Now, I want to make another comment before we move on here, because China intrigues me for a number of reasons here, biblically, last days, prophetically.
Okay.
Because you just don't see them that much.
Right.
Biblically.
Yeah.
They're there. Some believe that it's the area the Bible refers to as sin, S-I-N, the region of sin, which is kind of funny. It doesn't mean the same thing as it does to us, like a sinner.
Right.
But, or Zin, Z-A-N, sin. And it does talk about this region, and it even talks about, in Revelation, a 200 million man army coming down. Some believe that may be China coming in.
They have enough people to do it.
To attack the Antichrist and oppose him, when they're coming, because this army is going to be coming against the Antichrist coming down. There's a lot of things going on here.
This army's coming against the Antichrist? I thought the army was coming down against Jesus.
At the very end, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be some battles between nations. Now, ultimately, it'll culminate there at the region of Armageddon, and you're going to see them all coming together to fight the Lord, believe in that. But there's also going to be some battles between major nations at that time. You're going to see everybody following the Antichrist willingly the first 3 years, 3.5 years.
Right.
Then you're going to see it begin to unravel. And he's going to have some opposition. Again, we don't have time to get into a whole study of the Antichrist today.
We need to do that sometime because this sounds very intriguing.
It is. But now this is why it's intriguing to me, because there isn't really a portion of scripture I can go to and say, now this for sure is China prophetically. And let's talk about this. Why do I find this intriguing? China is rising to be one of the greatest powers in the world right now. Why don't we see more about them prophetically? And again, you can make the same argument about America. I know people have different views of what could be America. Some even say possibly Babylon at the end and all these things. And there's some possibilities on some things. But the point is, why don't we see more about America or about China, whatever? Maybe God just didn't say. It doesn't mean we're not there. It doesn't mean we're not involved. Right. God just maybe, God refers prophetically when it relates to Israel.
Yes.
People think, well, how come these big nations aren't there? Because not that God doesn't care, but everything focuses on Israel. So if there's something connected to Israel, you see other nations mentioned. It's not connected to Israel. It's usually a judgment or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
But China is on the rise. They're getting more and more influence, more and more power. And we're even seeing the great America, end quote. We're seeing people from our nation in important positions like LeBron James, which I made the little comment and the joke about, and others that are now actually saying they're actually bowing the knee of what we stood for and fought for because of the power and financial influence of China. I mean, you look at the NBA, what's going on there.
Exactly.
Huge money thing.
Yes, it's
LeBron
all about
LeBron is linked
money.
Into Nike. Nike makes everything in China.
Yeah.
So if they get upset with Nike, that hurts Nike. That hurts us. That hurts LeBron, his contracts, and all the other players. So there's a lot of money and power behind the scenes here on this. But you wonder, when did we cross the line in America where the power and the money supersedes who we are as a nation and the stand we're going to make? And see, there's a transition. There's a power transition happening. As America's shrinking, you're seeing other nations get more power. And I guess I'm saying, keep your eye on China, because China has a lot of the technology and the drive for the mark of the beast, but doesn't really have any connection to the Antichrist biblically. So the whole thing to me is very intriguing. It may just be advancing the technology. It may be taking the databases and holding it all together. I don't know. But keep your eye on China, because this is a big deal with a bunch of people that we don't have a lot about in Scripture.
The End Times, sponsored by China, your worldwide supplier of prophetic events.
That's right.
And technology.
That's right.
Something like that.
Yes.
All right. Pestilence.
Brought to you by the number.
Number 666. If we wouldn't get in trouble with it, we need to have, what was it, the count on Sesame Street?
Yes,
anyway. Okay. Newsmax.com. Not really a fan of the site. Don't know why we've got it on here, but I'm going to trust that this is true. Kim Jong-un may be hiding a hog apocalypse from the world.
Let me ask you this. Have you found false articles from Newsmax?
I don't know. I find they're a little too sensational for me. I find that it's very easy to get a far foot in there, and maybe it's the advertisements that get lumped in there. I feel like it's on the sensational side of things.
So we won't go hog wild, but here's what you need to do. While I'm reading this, why don't you look up real quick and look this up somewhere while I'm reading it to make sure it's somewhere else besides Newsmax, so we don't, just check real quick for us. We like to know our sources and make sure we're putting out there is accurate. We usually do that before the show, and I'm sure this is fine, but this is one we since he had a question, I'm going to make him check it. But listen, man, this goes in line with what we talked about in the last days. I'm sure that's why that this was included by our article gatherer. But this says, by official accounts, the pig contagion wreaking havoc across Eastern Europe has virtually skipped over North Korea, with a single outbreak reported there in May. So what's happening is you're seeing everybody around North Korea with all this swine virus things happening, killing the pigs, but North Korea's saying, we're fine. We only had one. Well, that looks suspicious. And they go on, but wayward feral pigs have stoked concern that Kim Jong-un, his reclusive state, is hiding an African swine fever disaster. So this isn't even verifying that it happened. They're saying the possibility. What did you find there?
It's on Bloomberg.
All right, great. So we're good.
Okay.
Five wild boars were found dead in or near border areas separating two countries this month before being tested positive for the viral hemorrhaging disease. Officials in South Korea have noted the finding reflects the freedom with which animals roam a 2.5-mile wide buffer zone between the nations and creates an involuntary park and refuge for fauna. What they're saying is South Korea is saying, we've got a lot of it. We got a big problem. North Korea is right there, 2.5 miles away,
yeah.
And the pigs go back and forth. North Korea is like, yeah, we haven't seen it.
Yeah, we have.
So, again, we know they don't tell the truth there. We know
right.
They hide this stuff.
Yes.
They try to make themselves seem greater than they are. So to say that he'd be lying about this is no surprise. But what is interesting is it says it could also be affecting neighboring China and Russia as this disease is spreading. They're not seeing it in people yet, but here's what it's doing. And this is where it comes in prophetically. It's killing off the swine population, which is one of the major food sources for that region of the world.
Yes.
And what that means is when you start losing a major food source in a nation like North Korea that's already starving to death,
yes,
you're going to see famine on a much greater scale.
Scale, yeah.
They say right now, 40% right now of North Korea is underfed. Before this, if this is accurate and they're losing their meat supply, it's going to really get bad. And so you're going to see more people trying to flee. You're going to see more all kinds of stuff happening in that nation. But the point is, the Bible says in the last days, you're going to see famine increasing across the world. These are the kind of things that can increase famine for an entire region of the world. So keep your eye on this. See what happens. Again, you won't get a lot of truth coming out of North Korea, but you will get truth coming out of South Korea. I don't know how much that Russia will, announce
it or whatever. And I saw the South Korean article regarding that.
Yeah, yeah. So again, this is something to watch when it comes in a lot of famines and disease, because again, sometimes these things do jump. They sometimes make that viral jump, and we've seen mad cow disease do that, so who knows? So it's something to keep your eye on.
Now, this article from The Church, I know that you wanted to kind of dovetail this into the first half,
right,
what we were talking about, because they are kind of related.
Yeah, and they really are.
This is from the Wall Street Journal. Religion is on the decline as more adults check none on the form, so to speak.
Yeah, let me make a little statement even before I read this.
Okay.
I usually like to read the article first, but here, let me just make a blanket statement. You know, the less light you have in a room, the darker it is. And the more light you have in a room, the less dark it is. I want you to think of our nation that way. You know, when Jesus came and walked the earth, you wouldn't see really very much demonic activity in Jerusalem. You don't read many stories about demons there. And I haven't really looked to try to nail down the numbers, but most of the demonic activity predominantly was up around the Galilee area, where you had the Gentiles and a very, very lukewarm Jewish population, whereas you had the kind of the religious centered area down there toward Jerusalem. Although the nation as a whole wasn't doing that great, there was more light toward Jerusalem than there was up in the northern region. And you'd see all these demons speaking out. You know, I know your name. Who are you? And, you know, it means like regular. And I think, Lord, why don't we say, and when you go to other nations, like I've traveled to Haiti now and other, you know, many other places where it's real dark and you see demonic activity, I mean, real possessions and stuff, you know, this is supernatural. And I used to wonder, why don't we see that in America more? I know there's some and there's stories and documented things, but you think, how come we don't have it here? And you tend to think, well, you know, maybe it's not real over there and they're imagining because we don't see it here. Well, here's the difference. Where there's more light, there's less dark. It's interesting, even prophetically speaking about the Galilee region, it says that when Jesus came, he was coming to an area of darkness. It says a light has shone in this area of darkness.
Yeah.
So you go to these dark countries and these dark regions, and where there's more darkness, that is less God, less word, less spirit, you're going to see more demons active and you're going to see more demonic activity. It makes very logical sense. America being founded on Judeo-Christian values by Christians predominantly, believers filling this nation, being a Christian nation for the majority of our nation's history, you're going to see more light and less demonic activity. So that makes sense. But as we turn from God more and more, which again has been a slow turn over the years, began really 63 and 62 were big years. We took prayer out of schools in 62. Yeah. We took the word of God out of schools in 63. You begin to see our nation decline. And you're seeing more darkness. And as now we're shifting from a nation that has honored God, we're turning to a nation that dishonors God, and we're going to begin to see more demonic activity. Now, why do I bring that up? Because it relates to what we talked about in the first half with all the spiritism. You're seeing, I mean, there were back in the 60s and 70s, you didn't have shows on TV about ghosts and mediums. I mean, maybe a movie, you know, or something, but not these shows like we have now.
Yeah.
So you're seeing spiritism and demonic activity increase, and it's directly proportional to our pull away from God. And this article here says religiosity in the U.S., and the reason I say that is this shows that we're heading in a bad direction where we're going to see more deception and demonic activity.
Okay.
Religiosity in the U.S. is in sharp decline, according to a study released by the Pew Research Center on Thursday, with the ranks of people who don't adhere to any faith growing fast while church attendance has sleepily fallen. I'm sorry, steeply fallen, but it would be sleepily as well. Kind of a Freudian slip there. Christians make up 65% of the U.S. adult population, according to the 2018-2019 study, down from 77% in 2009. Get what this means. According to this research, if it's accurate, America is 12% less Christian in 10 years. As a whole, that is massive. I don't know what 12% of 350 million, of course, you couldn't use that number because that's everybody in America. But whatever those who say they're Christian, the bottom line is millions of people are now saying we're not Christian, we're not following God, whether or not they fell away or it's just the new generation coming up. We're becoming less and less godly. And this next generation is less godly than the one before, and it's getting worse every generation. It goes on and says this, at the same time, those who don't identify with any religion, often known as nuns, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, now make up more than a quarter of the population, compared with 17% a decade ago. So it's gone from 17 up to 25%. Only 45% of adults said they attended church in the last month, down from 52% in 2009. The data reflected a seismic social recording, reordering rather, that has seen the population shift away from Christianity toward religious disaffiliation. Some nuns are atheists or agnostics, while others consider themselves to be spiritual but don't adhere to a particular religious tradition. You know, they had a commercial on, Greg, I was telling you about during the Democratic debate. The foundation From Religion hired a spot there to put on during the Democratic debate, and had Ron Reagan, the son of President Reagan, who, by the way, was a Christian and very openly about his following Jesus Christ. Now, the first lady, she was not a believer. But Ron Reagan certainly is not. But he did a commercial saying, look, we believe that religion should never be a part of America. And he said a lot of false things, like the founding fathers never intended it to be a part of America, which he obviously doesn't know his history, or he's just openly lying. I'm not sure which it is.
Okay.
But either way, yeah. At the end of this article, he says, you know what?
This commercial, was it a commercial?
A commercial,
or an
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm looking at the articles. Commercial. Okay. He said, and you know what? I'm not afraid of burning in hell. And it's like, wow, there's such a hard callousness there. And can you imagine a commercial like this, even being on TV 20 years ago? I think you'd see people just freaking out. For that to be on prime time, and for people not to be freaking out, it shows you where we are as a nation. Here's the bottom line. We are slowly turning from being a Christian nation to a non-Christian nation. And we're going to reap the whirlwind of that. We're going to reap the consequences. Rather than the blessing of God, we're going to see now the cursing of the world. Rather than the light holding back the darkness, we're going to see the darkness begin to overwhelm the light. And this goes right in line with what the Bible says in the last days will happen to the entire world. So it goes right in line with what we would expect, but it's very disheartening. And you know, how could America turn against Israel? They will one day. The Bible says that all nations will be against them. And it's this kind of thing. It's pulling God out of our schools, out of our government, out of our society. And let me tell you something. When you make that void, like in Syria, mm-hmm. Russia comes in. When you make that void spiritually, the enemy's going to step into that void, and we're going to see more and more spiritism, more and more ghost shows, more and more medium shows, more and more demonism, more and more everything. It's coming, and the scary thing is, this is probably the last generation that's going to be a predominantly Christian nation. The next generation is not going to be, and what is that going to look like for our kids? Pretty scary.
Is Ron Reagan a great example of the spiritual leprosy that the Bible talks about by talking about physical leprosy and the spiritual equivalent of that?
Well, there's certainly a numbing, as leprosy makes you numb and slowly kills your extremities. In that sense, yes. I mean, you talk about numb.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
And I know that he doesn't represent the nation, but you would be surprised how many people would see that. And first of all, some would agree, and how many would be indifferent? And then how many would say that's wrong? The indifferent crowd and the crowd that agrees, Greg, they make up
it's
such
growing.
A
growing.
Yeah, we need Jesus. Yeah. We need a revival. And I want to encourage our listeners, as we hear that music, Listen, if you don't know Jesus, you need to ask forgiveness and receive him. He died for you, and you can pray right now to receive him. Call out to the Lord. He'll lead you. But you need, we need, as believers, we need to be praying for revival for our nation. We need Jesus to pour out his spirit. We need a revival in the church.
Absolutely. TheSigns.org for everything related to our program. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure to come back next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss. Oh, actually, we're going to be gone next Friday. So we'll be back in 2 weeks for more Signs of the Times. Have a great weekend, everyone.